I'd ask you to turn to the Gospel of Luke this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, we're going to begin reading at the verse 38. A short passage, a short history here. It only appears in this one place in the Gospels, but a very important passage teaching us many practical lessons. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that is Christ and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. As we come to this passage, let's just still our hearts again, ask for the Lord's help, wisdom, and direction, even as we hear his word, as we learn the lessons from these few verses. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we again still ourselves before thee with the word of God open. Lord, we desire to find a refuge for our souls in thee. We're thankful that the Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows them that trust in him. The Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the day of trouble. And so, Lord, as we come to this passage and consider the many things that would trouble us, the cares of this life that weigh us down, remind us, Lord, that we should take no thought of our life, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or what we shall put on, because our Father in heaven knows that we stand in need of all these things. But help us even now, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to seek thee. Lord, grant us your presence, your grace, even now as we look to this word. Give voice, I pray. Give clarity of thought. Minister by the power of your Spirit to those hearing this word. And Lord, direct us by your word that we would be changed more and more into the image of our Savior, conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, we recognize without thee, we can do nothing. So help us now, we pray. Shut us in with yourself. Minister by your word, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As we come to this passage of Scripture, this is a familiar portion, a brief history, but yet this is the only place in the Gospels we read about this incident as Christ visits the home of Martha and Mary and comes into fellowship with them. This family, no doubt, they were dear to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure on other occasions as he passed that way, he enjoyed fellowship with them. Those times are not recorded in the Word, but this occasion is.
We read of another time in John chapter 11 of the fellowship that they enjoyed together as a family, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and how Christ especially esteemed them. They were dear to him. He loved them, as we read there in that place. This is a short history, but it is a story packed with vital lessons for us as believers. And yet, coming to this passage, initially, we may not see the connection. It may be difficult for us to see the connection with what comes before. Earlier in this chapter, the Lord has been talking about service. He commissioned 70 disciples to go out and to serve and to do his work. The 70 return from their labors. They're full of joy. They have known in their ministry the presence of Christ, the power of God, and healing and casting out demons, and knowing power to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to heal the sick, and to see many brought into the kingdom of God. And they rejoice in that. Rejoice in what had been accomplished, the work that had been done. But the Lord cautions them. They were not to rejoice so much in their works, because in the end of the day, it was only by grace, the grace of God, that enabled them, helped them to accomplish these works. But he said, rather rejoice in this. Rejoice in your relationship to God. Rejoice in the fact that your name is recorded in heaven. Remember that. And then we have, after that, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you know the story well, how that others passed by, but this Samaritan man stopped to help the injured. He had compassion. And I guess the illustration there is the same, that we're to rejoice not so much in our own works of charity, but in the grace of God that has so worked in our hearts to give us that love and that compassion for the lost, for the dying, for the perishing. It's all of grace. Grace to do these works. Grace to show compassion on the lost. And so we come to the end of the chapter. And all that, the 70 going out to serve, the Good Samaritan, all that is followed by this word of caution here. Yes, it's good to be busy in the service of Christ, but never neglect that time of communion with the Lord. It's good to be active, to be engaged, but you must also take time to sit at Jesus' feet. We need grace if we're going to do anything for the Lord. We need grace to love, to show compassion to the lost. And we need God's grace just to be still, to sit still for a while and to listen to the word of Christ before we go out to serve Christ. That is so important. And the Lord said, one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was so busy, cumbered with much service, but Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word, that good part that would not be taken away from her. Yes, there's a time to act, there's a time to be engaged, there's a time to work, but never forget, you need to take time to sit still at the feet of Jesus, to draw from him the needed grace to do the work he has called you to do. Have you ever had a day go by when you're so busy, so overwhelmed with all that you have to accomplish, all that you have to do? You get so wrapped up in the affairs of this life, in the business of life, that you become so focused, so engrossed on the things that you have to accomplish, the list that you have to see finished, that you hardly have time to think about spiritual things. And we're all guilty of this. I'm guilty as charged. We can be guilty of this in varying degrees as we go through the day, that we find ourselves so engrossed in the temporal affairs of this life, and it's very hard to eke out time to spend in prayer, in the Word of God, communing with Christ. It can be very, very difficult some days. There are days like that. It can be difficult some days just to take time with Jesus. And so we come to the end of the day, looking back over our day, we do so with regret, with shame, with remorse, because we have to acknowledge our lack of communion with the Savior throughout the day. And oftentimes we're so weary, so tired, that we just utter a few words and roll into bed. It's easy to become so engrossed in our work, even legitimate things, as Martha here was engaged in legitimate business, legitimate service, but those things can become a snare to us. It happens. It happens every day. It happens in the home. The wife, the mother becomes so busy tending to the home, looking after the family. There are things to be done. It happens to students in school, assignments, homework, tests, all these things to be done, to get ready for, and you're overwhelmed. It happens to you in your business. There are so many things to do, so many people to call, people to meet, places to go, and you don't know where to begin. And you know, sadly, it happens in the service of Christ as well. We can be so busy in the service of Christ, doing the Lord's work, and we're guilty of not spending time in communion with Christ, doing His work, but not worshiping, not communing as we ought to. We become so busy that we neglect to take time with the Lord. And as we go through our day, we fail to ask for His help. We fail to call upon Him in prayer. We fail to notice His presence with us. We fail to see His hand directing us. And there's often little or no time just to sit at Jesus' feet and hear His word. That's the picture here. That's the warning here in this brief history of Martha and Mary. Martha was careful and troubled about many things. We are too. Careful, cumbered, troubled about many things. She became so preoccupied by other things, distracted by the preparations that had to be made for that meal, to show hospitality to the Savior, to entertain the Lord. And so she was running around in circles, is really what it's saying. But Martha sat at Jesus' feet. And it's interesting, when you find Martha in the Gospels, you often find her at the same place, at Jesus' feet, sitting, listening to the Savior. You know, there are essential lessons here for us as we think of our service, our activity for the Lord, and also those times of needed communion with Christ. Essential lessons. One of the things we notice here is legitimate things often occupy our time. Legitimate things, things that have to be done, things that we need to do. But the warning is, don't be so preoccupied with the cumbersome things of life that you forget God. And even in the Lord's service, service must never be a substitute for worship. We need to take time with the Savior. We can be in the service of the Lord, but not worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. It's a very real danger as we meet here today. You're in the service, you're in the house of the Lord, but are you worshiping with heart, in spirit and in truth? That happens to us. We're distracted. We're thinking about what we have to do in the week to come. We're thinking about what happened last week. We're thinking about what's going to happen after the service, and we're not engaged in worship. Service can never be a substitute for true worship. But the point is, we can become anxious and burdened as we try to serve the Lord. To Martha's credit, she wanted to do the very best for the Lord. She wanted to prepare the best meal. She had a right motive, a good heart. But we can become preoccupied with the service, with the form, with self, but ignore the Savior, the divine guest. And that's the warning here. That's the word of caution. It may be a word of rebuke to you today. We can become so busy, all of us, pastor included, and there's a real danger for pastors, teachers in the work. This happens. We become so busy, so many things to do in the Lord's work that we fail to commune with Christ. Busy. But not blessed. And so the warning here, beware of excessive attention to legitimate things under the guise of service to Jesus. We can make excuses for our neglect. It was important to Martha that the Savior be entertained. She wanted to show hospitality, preparing the meal. It seemed so right, so important, so necessary. But the Lord said, no, that's not all there is. Just one thing is needed. You don't have to go to that length, not an elaborate meal. One dish is needed. Some would suggest that's all the Savior meant here, but that's not all he meant. He was talking about the necessity to take advantage of Christ's presence, to dwell with him, to commune with him. But how ensnared we can be when even legitimate things take all our attention. And so the warning. Legitimate things often occupy our time. Service must never be a substitute for worship. We can become burdened and anxious as we try to serve the Lord, weary and well-doing. We were hearing about that recently. But the point is, you will be burdened. You will become weary in well-doing when you substitute service for communion. You will find, we will all find, that when we miss out with God personally, when we fail to take time with Christ in personal devotion, reading his word, praying, seeking his face, you and I find that when we miss out with God personally, we are less and less effective in our service. The work is harder. It takes longer. It becomes wearisome. You lose heart in the work, and there's a lack of real zeal, real devotion, real heart to do it because it's become a drudgery to you rather than a delight. Duty becomes a drudgery, and there's that dissatisfaction. Why? Because we have failed to take time communing with God, drawing from the well of life that we would be sustained, refreshed, strengthened, and then go to service. We must listen and learn at the feet of Jesus first, and then go out to teach and to serve and direct others. There can be a doing, a service, without that devotion of heart. Discontent, dissatisfaction creeps in. The motivating factor is no longer love for Christ, but to be seen of men as doing. We don't want to be seen as lazy or thought of as lazy. We want to be busy. But if we're doing it just to be seen of men, then we're living like the Pharisees. And in actuality, it's that communion with Christ, sitting at his feet. That's what keeps the fire burning. That's what keeps your love fresh. That's what energizes you. And that's when the work you go to do will be done with heart. As you serve, you will do it with heart because you have been directed by the Lord. And Jesus said, "Come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yoked to Christ, when we're joined to Christ, the work becomes easier. Because he helps us. He carries the burden with us. He helps us. But can you see the real danger here? You will be burdened when you substitute service for communion. The real danger of neglecting communion with the Savior. What happens when we neglect those times with the Lord? Well, first of all, number one, you will be conquered by the cares of this life. Circumstances will get you down. You will let the cares of this life get to you. It says in verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." The circumstances were getting to her. We can be conquered by the cares of this life. We're bothered by temporal cares so that we become anxious and troubled. She was cumbered about much serving. Jesus said to her in verse 41, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." Anxious. The word there, careful, troubled, cumbered, has the idea of being anxious, being troubled, beginning to worry, getting upset. In fact, the word points to this truth. You will find yourself running around in circles. It's distracted, preoccupied. You find yourself in that situation at times. Have you ever found yourself? You've got so many things to do, the list to do. I've got this to do. This person to call, this place to be. So many things to do. You just don't know where to start, and you're running around in circles. Where to begin? That's the idea here. Unraveled, going to pieces. That's what happens when we neglect communion with the Savior. But there's something else here. You will notice also there's a complaining spirit that develops. She says, "My sister has left me alone to serve alone." And so she looks around, she thinks to herself, you know, am I the only one doing any work around here? Am I the only one serving the Lord? My sister has let me down, in other words, has left me alone. And you find here her grumbling, complaining about her sister. That complaining spirit develops when we neglect to spend time with Jesus, to sit at Jesus' feet. Self-pity may enter in. And I think of the words of the great prophet Elijah after he came from the victory at Carmel. And under the threat of Ahab and Jezebel, he was wallowing in self-pity, and he said to himself, "You know, I'm the only one serving the Lord. I am left alone. I'm not like my fathers. I'm not this. I'm not that." complaining, and yet the Lord had to say to him, no, no, there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not alone. And here is Martha, my sister left me all alone. We can begin to complain. But more than that, there was a critical spirit. The circumstances get you down, you're overwhelmed. A complaining spirit arises, but it's a critical spirit. She becomes critical of Christ and of others. Because she said there, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me alone? Bid her come and help me. A critical spirit, critical of Christ. Do you not care, Lord? Do you not see all the trouble I'm going to? You know, I'm doing my best here. I'm trying to serve. I'm doing this for you, Lord. Do you care? Are you interested? And sometimes in the troubles of life, when we are burdened and anxious and the fears come upon us, we wonder, is the Lord there? Does the Lord see? Does the Lord care? Is the Lord interested? And become critical of the Savior. It's a dangerous thing. Critical of others. You know, she's left me all alone to serve. In other words, she's implying there, she's not doing anything. I'm the one doing all the work around here. Tell her to help me. This critical spirit. Critical of Christ, critical of others. But there's an interesting side note here. You notice that at least, we could say, at least she went directly to the Savior with her complaint. And that was good. She had the courage to go directly to the Lord with her complaint. And the Lord rebuked her graciously. He pointed out what was really of interest to him. He said there are a few things needed, but one thing is necessary. But she took her complaint to the Lord. That's important. We shouldn't go whispering in the ears of all around, telling them our complaint, telling them our cares, our burdens, the things that bother us and trouble us, without first taking the matter to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the direction of the hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Are you burdened? Are you troubled? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Go first to the Lord. Seek His help. But you notice also the fault here. Not only was she overcome by care, a complaining, critical spirit, but it was a commanding spirit. She said to the Lord, tell her to help me. Lord, I'm left alone to serve here. Tell my sister to help me. Make her. And she was imposing her will upon her sister, who was taking time to sit at Jesus' feet. You know, we can go about the service of Christ in a wrong manner, in a wrong fashion, with an unloving spirit, lacking grace, lacking patience, commanding, critical, dictating, imposing our will on others. Tell her to help me. And you find her here, Martha is lording over others. And she's going to drive them instead of lead them. Dictating and imposing your will on others does not work. We need to lead by example, lead with grace. Because the truth is, that person may not have arrived at the place you are at. They may not see things as you see things. They may not have that same conviction yet that you have about serving the Lord. The Lord is still doing that work in them, directing them showing them. They may not be ready to go forward in service yet. And like Mary, they may need more time at Jesus' feet in preparation for service. And so dictating and imposing our will on others does not work, because they may not have arrived at the place of spiritual maturity that we are at. They may not be ready for service. They may need to be trained in the school of Christ. They may need more time to grow, to mature, to develop. And we're all different. We all have different gifts and talents. And all believers are not at the same place at the same time. We need to show patience. We need to show grace. Some are slow to arrive at this conviction regarding service for Christ. And we need to be careful, adults especially, be careful not to push young people forward in the service of Christ when they are not ready. They're immature believers. Young Christians need time at Jesus' feet to listen and to learn from Christ before they go forward in his service. And if we have that commanding spirit dictating and imposing our will, we may do more harm than good, directing the lives of those young people. Yeah, they may have zeal, they may know the Lord, they may love the Lord, they want to serve the Lord, but they don't have that knowledge that they need yet to go forward in his service. Zeal without knowledge, that knowledge is required. It comes as you take time sitting at Jesus' feet. And this is a word of caution, a warning to us. We're not to be conquered by care. We need to commune with Christ. If we fail to commune with Christ, there's that critical, commanding, complaining spirit that arises within us. And it's not good. It's not helpful in the work of Christ. There's a very real possibility. We must check ourselves. We must guard against this. There's a very real possibility that this can happen to us. It's good for us to be actively involved in the service of Christ. That's what we want. We want to see believers strong in the Lord, maturing, growing, and going out in service to Christ. Before we come down too hard on Martha, we have to recognize her motives were right. She had a heart for the Lord. She is to be commended for her desire to serve the Lord, to set the very best before the Lord, to show and to do ministry in a practical way to the Lord. She's to be commended. It's good to be involved in the work of the Lord. And we would encourage that. But let's not push young people forward in the service of Christ when they're not ready. They need time to develop and learn. But at the same time, on the other hand, you could say there are those who sit under the ministry of the Word for months, for years, who hear the Word, who hear the call to service, and never do anything for Christ. Never get involved in the work. Happy to come and listen, but never get involved. Martha got involved. That's good. It's good to get involved in the Lord's work, to serve in practical ways. Don't leave it all to others. We are to be laborers together with Christ, as members of Christ's body, all working together, using your gifts, using your talents. The one heart, one aim, one goal, the glory of Christ and his gospel, setting the gospel before men. Don't leave it all to the Sunday school teachers or the deacons or the elders or the pastor. Get involved. Ask, what can I do? And yet, heed the warning here. Martha got involved, but she became cumbered with much service. She got bogged down with much serving. We can become so busy. At the same time, we lose out with Christ. It's a real danger. It's a real possibility. We can be in the Lord's work and still not know the Lord's blessing or peace. Having a wrong spirit, serving in a wrong manner, with wrong motives. Sometimes you have to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that work at this time. Maybe someone else would be suitable. Sometimes you have to delegate the work to another. Sometimes you have to make do with less. You have to know your limits. And we need to be careful to maintain this time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one thing is for sure, Christ said. One thing is so necessary. One thing is needed, Christ said. And it's this, we must determine, we must resolve to spend this time in communion with the Lord. Yes, there's a time for action, there's a time for work, there's a time for service, but there's also a time for contemplation, a time for meditation, a time of sitting at Jesus' feet. We need to refuel, we need to recharge those spiritual batteries. We need to take time to hear His word. We can be keepers of the Lord's vineyard, but fail to keep our own vineyard. We need the Lord to direct us. We need the Lord's guidance. And Christ directs us here to choose the one thing that is needful. He calls us to sit at His feet. When we should be teachers, we need to be taught again. The basics, the first principles, keep that love for Christ fresh. Sit at Jesus' feet, learn of Christ, listen to His word, and then go out in His service. It's so necessary. Choose out for yourself that good portion, Christ says. It was good for Mary. It's that good part that will not be taken away from her. Sitting, listening to the Word of God, the Word that lives and abides forever. And we have this eternal record here. It will not pass away. And if anything, this passage teaches us how necessary the grace of God is for worship and for service. Grace to serve, if we're going to do anything like the 70, we need grace to do it. If we're going to help the perishing, like the story of the Good Samaritan, we need God's grace to do it. If we become so busy and overwhelmed in the work of God, we need to come to Him again for fresh grace and just sit at Jesus' feet so that having spent time at Jesus' feet, we go then with wholehearted determination in His work. Because we have drawn from His grace. With wholehearted determination, let us seek Christ for grace each day before our labor. Let us listen to the word of Christ. And in that, you recognize your need to be taught, your need to be fed, your need for grace. Without it, without God's grace, we can do nothing. Nothing. And that's the right choice. Mary hath chosen that good part that will not be taken away from her. To sit at Jesus' feet and draw grace from Him, the God of all grace, establishing us, strengthening us, settling us. As we take advantage of His company, as we take advantage of His presence, sitting for a time, sitting still and communing with the Lord. It was interesting in my study this week, as I came to this passage, it was really because of Psalm 119 and the verse 173. The psalmist there said, "Let thine hand help me. Let thine hand help me, Lord, that omnipotent hand which holds me up. Let your hand help me. For I have chosen thy precepts." I have chosen thy precepts. And you know, that verse in Psalm 119 is cross-referenced with this verse here in Luke chapter 10. Mary hath chosen the good part that will not be taken away. She chose to sit under the word of Christ. She chose, like the psalmist, the precepts of the Lord. The word is to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Those that hate the Lord do not choose the fear of the Lord. But those who sense their need come to the Lord for wisdom, come to his word for direction. They choose his precepts because they fear him, they reverence him, they want to serve him. That's our desire as the people of God, to serve the Lord, to be delivered from a critical, complaining, commanding spirit. We don't want to be overcome by the cares of this life, but we want the Lord to lead us and direct us day by day. Let us determine, resolve, choose that part. Choose the word of Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this instructive little passage, the word of God that lives and abides forever. And we ask now, Lord, that we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers also. We would take this word and seek to apply it in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, for complaining in your service. Forgive us for being overcome and anxious, over anxious about the cares of this life when the Lord has said, I will provide all your needs. Forgive us, Lord, for being critical, and help us to see your purpose, your will in your word day by day, that we would take time at Jesus' feet. Bless us now as we come to the communion table. We're thankful for this time. We can sit in the presence of Christ and contemplate all that he has done for us. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.